Good morning, everybody. We're going to continue to look at the book of Acts. Again, the emphasis is on, at this time, the church. And I want to emphasize the word church. The Bible tells us that we need to be a part of the church that Jesus Christ died for. And there's only one way to make sure about that. And I hope and I pray that everyone that's here this morning has a strong desire and a conviction to be a part of the church that Jesus Christ died for. Just recently I read an article, there's a particular group, and they want to take out several verses of the Bible. And the reason they want to take all those verses out, because it goes against what they want to happen in today's world. Now Richard mentioned the word worldview this morning. The worldview, tells us, in essence, our view of everything that we think about and what we believe. When I first became a Christian, in essence, my worldview at the time was completely destroyed. And I had to think and find out what actually was the truth. And it took some effort to do that. What we're focusing on now is the church at the beginning. In the beginning, when the church first started on Pentecost, there were no false doctrines, no false teachers. They didn't have time to do it. It just started. But give them some time, and what happened? Even during the time of Paul and Peter, they had to warn us about false teachers. And that was back then when the apostles were still alive, some of them. Already, Satan is at work, trying to deceive people and lead them astray. So today, if we want to know the truth, the only way that we can do it is go directly to God's Word. Look at God's Word, read God's Word, and know God's Word. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Again, we're trying to look at the church itself now, in the very beginning. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "They that gladly received the Word were baptized, and that same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So please note that one verse has so much power today. Because there are so many people today, they can read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, see the preaching of Peter that first day with the rest of the apostles. They can read those very words, and it says they that gladly received his word were what? We're baptized. And there are so many different groups, so many different denominations who say, no, you do not need to be baptized to be a Christian to be saved. Now, who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe God's word? Are we going to believe these different doctrines and teachings that have come up over time? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders or signs were done by the apostles. And they all believed were together, had all things in common, sold their possession and goods, parted them to all men as every man had deed. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Again, reading God's word and understanding it. The Lord added to 17 churches. That is not what it says. And this is critical. Understanding what is written. The Lord added to the church such as should be saved, as we read that particular scripture. Now, continuing what we had looked at in the beginning, or continuing our lessons, this is the day of Pentecost when the gospel is first being preached. And that day, 3,000 were added to them. And the Lord adds to the church such as should be saved. Now, again, look at verse 38, Acts chapter 2. Because Peter had preached to them, and he told them, you had killed the Messiah. You had crucified the Messiah. And they were convicted. And they understood the magnitude of what they've done. And they're asking, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that same message is today. What must you do? You must repent and you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 39. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, and as many as shall call our Lord our God shall call. Richard brought up this morning's lesson a little bit about the idea about Calvinism, predestination. And there are many today who believe this, that God has chosen you and you have no choice in the matter. And no matter what you do, if God has not chosen you, then you cannot be part of it. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches this, whosoever what? Whosoever will. And God wants every person to come to him on his terms. Look at verse 41 in Acts chapter 2. They who gladly received his word were baptized. On that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So what do we do today? We need to do exactly like they did there on the day of Pentecost. Now let's look at verse 47. Because the plan is plain and simple. What do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to them day by day those who were saved. That's the American Standard Version. The Lord added to them day by day. The New King James Version says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. And this is critical again. The Lord will add to the church those who are to be saved. And the way that you are added to the church so that you may be saved is you need to obey what God has commanded you to do. That's the means and the mechanism that's provided to each and every one of us. So on that particular day, 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 souls. Now, let me ask you a question. In the last 2,025 years approximately, have people tried to change that message? Have they changed it over time? Some of them have completely cast it aside, come up with their own little mechanisms. But we need to understand that there is one God, there is one church, and there is one faith. And we need to be part of that one faith that Jesus Christ died for. That's what we're called to do. What we're going to look at now for the next couple of lessons is the idea about what the church is. Is that an important question? Yes. When I first obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I had zero concept or understanding about the church. Zero. I thought what I had participated for the first 25, 27 years of my life was what the church was. And when I obeyed the gospel, all of a sudden, it's like a blank slate. And now for the first time, I pick up the Bible and I start to read for myself. And only then, you think it was real easy to understand it all at the beginning? No. I had to ask a lot of questions. I had to do a lot of reading. I had to go to people who were brothers and sisters in Christ and have them help me and point out the correct way of understanding God's word. It took some time to do that. Today there are many conflicting doctrines about what the church is. And what we need to do is make sure that we look at God's word. There we find the answers about the Lord's church. Now, again, last time I brought this up, and I'll bring it up again. Is this building the church? Do you ever hear the expression, it's time to go to church? All right? I've used that expression a lot before I understood what the church is. What is the church? It's the people who have been called out of the world, who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this my church? Is this your church? That's a trick question. All right? In one sense, yes, we're assembled together. This is our church. We're part of the kingdom of God. But this building that we're in is not the church that we're describing here in God's word. Now, those people who obeyed the gospel that day, they believed the message. They repented of their sins after Peter had given the word, and they were baptized for one reason. What was the reason for their baptism that day? Why were they baptized? To make their mommy and daddy happy? No. To please their girlfriend because their girlfriend? No. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. And on that day, we're told that 3,000 of them did it on that day. Now, when you think of 3,000, that looks like a big number, don't it? But when you consider the calculation, the number of people there at the temple at that time, there were probably over a million there. 3,000 is a small number of those who were actually there. But that's the beginning, isn't it? It's a start of the church and the gospel being preached. 3,000 souls on that particular day. So again, we think about this. We look at the origin of the church. Let's turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because if you look at the different bodies that have come up over time who follow false teachings and false doctrine, they have strayed so far away from what we find in God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." The apostles in the beginning spread the word of God orally. They preached the word. Over time, what happened? They began to write and record these things. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, Jude, James, all these different books written over time. And then they're collected and they're compiled and put together. And the word was transmitted that way then, the written word of God. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Again, the commandment that he gives him. Now, Timothy is being trained by Paul. Paul's trying to encourage him, build him up, give him the tools to be a successful minister to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. "Now for all who preach, all who teach, and all who have that responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ, look carefully at these words." It says, "Preach what? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season." That means you better make sure you're doing it when? All the time. Be instant, in season, and out of season. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." What's he telling them? You need to give them the truth, even when it's in difficult circumstances. Some people are going to reject you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to want to hurt you. But you as a preacher need to do these things. Why? Because you're concerned about their soul. Look at verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Now this, Paul wrote this nearly 2,000 years ago. So for over 2,000 years now, we've got people doing this. "Not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." What does that mean? Heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means they're going to go to the church of their choice. I guess that's a phrase they use today. I'm sorry. We need to go to the church that what? That Jesus Christ died for. That's following the teachings that we find in the scripture. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, unto lies. Now there might be somebody sitting here this morning who's not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, what's stopping you from doing that? What's preventing you? What in your heart is causing you to turn away from God's word? And I've heard people tell me, well, my mom and my dad, you know, they did this over here. My mom and dad, let me take that back. One of my parents, to my knowledge, never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when my parent passed away, in whose hands are they? They're in God's hands. And we talked about this morning, the judgment. And there's a story of the rich man and Lazarus, right? And the rich man wasn't too happy when he died. And he looked down and he was concerned about who? About his brothers. So if you have a family member who was unfaithful to God, maybe they're in the same situation. They might be looking down and say, oh, I wish my son or my daughter would hear the word. That's the example we have in scriptures. So you cannot be held accountable for any of your relatives or your family members. You only can be held accountable for what you decide to do. And that's what you're encouraged to do, to obey the gospel. So again, when the church first began on Pentecost, there wasn't time for false teachings, false doctrine. It was original, and it was the way God intended it. And this was an interesting concept, because one of my documents I wrote in college was on worldviews. And we had to spend time in God's word, because whose view do we want to live? God's view. The picture that God has presented to us. That's what we want to follow. And where does it begin? Where does this view start? Does it start in the book of Jude? No, Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. And we start there. And I've shared this. When I obeyed the gospel, I had a big problem, because I'm a physicist. I'm working with some of the top scientists in the world, believe me. And they laughed at me, and they ridiculed me. And they attacked me because I became a Christian. I did not know how to defend the truth at that time. So then I had to pick up the Bible and start to read, because if Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 is wrong, guess what? The rest of the Bible is wrong. And after I studied and studied and studied, I became completely convinced that God's word is right. And I had been lied to and deceived into believing other things. So we need to spend the time to know God's word. And the same thing when it comes to about different denominations and churches. Because that's the second thing I had to do. I had to understand the concept of the church. Because I thought the building was the church. I was wrong. But the only way I could find that out was what? To read God's word. To read his word and to find those things out. Again, let's look at Acts chapter 2 now, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And this is the beauty of what God has done for us. We have God's word today, and it's in many different languages. You can get it in so many different languages. There's still people who haven't got it in their languages, but many are working on it. But here, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Please note what it says there. They continued steadfastly, means all the time, in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They devoted themselves to four things we see there. Look at those four things again. Apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. What they did was follow the teachings of the apostles. That was their guide. And once again, we need to go back in that time period. Because communication for most people was what? It's what I'm doing right now. It was oral. It had to be communicated by word of mouth. So that means you had to come together if you wanted to hear and to listen to it being spoken. So they continued in the guidance that was given to them by the inspiration of the apostles. There wasn't any conventions or synods or groups of people who said, "I'm Christ's vicar on earth." It was the apostles preaching God's word by direct revelation. And those who heard it, they tried to, again, spread the word. Now, there's a problem just doing that, isn't there? If I say something to Glenda right here and have her say it to Gene, and Gene says it to Mark, and he keeps on going back, by the time it gets over here back to me, is it going to be the same that was spoken? No. You do this little exercise in class to demonstrate to kids. All right? Things change when it's spoken from one person to another. That's why it's so important to have it, what? Written down. And even then, if you're not careful, you know, we got to, you know, trace the history of how we have the Bible today. And I tell you, many people have done that, and there's, I'm looking for the word, incontrovertible, is that word? Incontrovertible evidence that we have God's word in its totality today. Now listen, if you would, those 12 apostles, they were still alive. They resided in Jerusalem. Now, of course, eventually all the apostles died. But while they were still alive, they spread the gospel to the Jews that were there. They began to write letters, send the letters to other people. They were circulated. Then they collected those letters. They put them together. And eventually, it's a real simple idea, we get what's called the New Testament today. And that's a whole other study in itself. And worth some time if you question the authenticity of what we have today. But those, what we try to do is look at what the apostles taught. And the way that we learn these things, first of all, is by reading. Second, by spending some time studying, and then making sure that we live our lives the way we are instructed by God, as we find in His Word. That is what we are called to do. So today, the New Testament serves as the guide that we follow. Let's turn together to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, of all the verses in the Bible, this one you should have highlighted. Now, notice what he says here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So notice the Scripture that we have is sufficient for every good work. If we're going to do what God expects us to do, if we're going to love Him and serve Him with all our heart and soul and mind, then we need to know God's Word. That's it. There's no shortcut. You need to know God's Word. Has anybody here ever studied to take a test in school? I see some head shaking over there. Probably true back in the back here. Okay. Well, you better study if you're going to be successful. All right? I taught for a couple years high school. And it's amazing the different methodologies the kids will use to prepare for a test. Some of them were successful with their methodologies. Others not successful. One of them, and this, one of my students, we have this device here. What's this device? Cell phone. So she's taking a test, and I notice this taking that place. Now she's got it hidden real well, you know, trying to think. But your teachers are trained to look for that kind of stuff. Every now and then, doing this. So I have to go back there, and I have to confront her. Is that the proper way to take your test? No, it's not. That's not the proper way. Can you cheat on the test that God's given you? No, you cannot cheat. Either you're living according to His Word or you're not. And like Richard pointed out in the class this morning, when you stand before judgment, you're going to have to defend yourself, or the Lord's going to defend you, right? That's what's going to take place. So we had better be prepared. Now let's turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Again, emphasis on scriptures the apostles have given us and we have today. That's where all the answers that pertain to eternal life are found. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it talks here about Paul. And I want you to notice what Peter says about the things that Paul wrote. An account that the long-suffering our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given on him, written unto you. As also in all his apostles, speaking in them of things, which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other what? The other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So Peter here is talking about the writings of Paul as Scripture. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. So those things that Paul wrote, Peter here talks about as being Scripture. Now we know that we have everything that God intended us for us to have. He gave us everything. His Word is complete. So we can look at His Word if we want to understand the church and what the church is. Now, this was a difficult concept for me to understand when I first became a Christian. Have people gotten further and further away from the truth in the last 2,000 years? There are many shades of, quote, I'm putting quote, of Christianity. They claim to be Christians, but they teach things that are contrary to God's Word. So how in the world am I, as a new Christian, going to figure out which one is the one true church? How am I going to do that? One way, again, yes, that's to read God's Word. That's the only way to do it. And you learn about different things, different concepts. Are there commandments in God's word? Yes. Are there examples in God's word? Yes. And there's another word, inference, all right? Those are some technical terms. But when you read God's word, we look at the examples that we find of the apostles. We look at their specific commands. And then by things that we read, there's also inference that we can make. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, in more detail later. But again, this all applies to understanding the church as Jesus Christ died for and instituted it. Again, we want to make sure that we are the church as found in the New Testament. And we're going to stop here, and God willing, continue, because we want to look at those other things in more detail about what the early Christians did. The reason we're trying to look at this in such detail is because we as a church that assembles here on the first day of the week, do we want to be a church that is acceptable to God? Do we want to do the things that God has commanded us to do? I hope we do. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Yes! And that's the only test. And I'm going to tell you right now, we as Christians need to make sure that we do everything God has instructed us to do. And not to be guilty of not doing what God has instructed us to do. The Bible says a little leaven will do what? Leaven everything. If we let sin in and we look the other way, what's going to happen over time? It's going to grow. We must not allow that among ourselves. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, please take a close look at yourself. And think about your life and where you want to spend an eternity. My hope and prayer for you, if you've not obeyed the gospel, that you have a sincere desire to make that choice before it is eternally too late. Choose to serve God. Choose to be with Him forever and ever. Choose to be in His presence. If you're here, a brother or sister in Christ, if you need the prayers of this congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.